If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Oh, no, Lord, not my Richard Hatch.
How much have you been dying to? I didn't know you were going to do that. How much have you been dying to do that?
It literally popped in my head of how can we make this Ek and Sue moment, but for our new audience of House of Villains. Bring Phaedra for House of Villains 3, because House of Villains 2 is already over. We lost our Survivor connection.
Spoilers. Dude, it's hard. It's hard. I'm used to watching these shows and keeping the Survivor connection. Like, even when we did The Traitors, by the time Parvati and Sandra didn't go home to what, the second to last episode? Did she make the finale? Boston Rob made the finale of Deal or No Deal Island. Johnny Fairplay made the finale of House of Villains season one. Like, I don't have time
Mitch
for this
is
shit.
The biggest loser in Survivor bringing over history. Like, even Michelle makes it to deep in most of the challenges she goes on.
Yeah, like, what the hell, man?
And that's our episode of...
I am bummed. I'm going to be honest. I am bummed. I am very, very bummed. And like, I understand that most people who are watching this show are probably like, good, get that old guy out of here. He sucks. I don't know him. I don't care about him. Whatever. I'm bummed. I'm going to miss him. What do you think? I mean, did Hatch bring it on this season or no?
I think it was interesting because it was two parts of he's either so good, we got to get him out. He's the one who, like, that was what was said of, like, how much manipulation are you going to be manipulated as the audience, Blake? Of, we need to get him out because he's won the biggest show like this with a jury format. Like, that mm-hmm. was literally 22 years ago, 26 years ago, 29 years ago. Like, you don't think anything changed during all that? Like, it is something of, oh, you were good at the high jump in high school, but you're not going to be good at the high jump 23 years later. You probably know how to jump and you know how to the Fosbury flop, but like, there's a lot of stuff that we realized of, like, you gotta be eating your Gatorade shoes. And Richard does not know where to buy Gatorade shoes. He does not know which flavors are better or what time to eat them for the maximum effort of the Gatorade chew. So it did seem like not that he was outmatched. It just seemed he was a little out of place of This was not a cast where Richard was going to manipulate Big Borrow and Deal and get everyone else out. It felt like he was just drawn dead from the beginning.
More importantly, why do you know what the Fosbury flop is?
That's the one thing to know about.
I'm just shocked you know it. Like, what is your track and field history that you understand what the Fosbury flop is?
I mean, that's like when you go... I think when you're obsessed with game shows and TV and reality shows, like, if there's ever going to be a category on Jeopardy for something that you know, you kind of know the five questions that they'll ask a general audience. And whenever it's track and field and they ever mention the words high jump, Fosbury flop is already in your brain of like, I need to click the button and say Fosbury flop.
Yeah. Okay.
That's how I think. I mean, and you host a bar trivia every once in a while, right? Like, you can get that mindset of like, oh, we're talking about women's gymnastics. It's Simone Biles, like that,
or it's Nadia Comaneci.
Yeah, like Michelle Kwan is Christy Yamaguchi. Like, we know all these figure skaters. Like, that's who we're gonna ask. It's like, what era figure skater do you want? Okay, Brian Botano was okay. Boom, boom, boom. Like, I'm ready to go.
See, my favorite thing at bar trivia, and this is really on topic with House of Villains, but my favorite thing when hosting a bar trivia is when you get a team that is blatantly cheating. I'll take a question that like only me and my friends would know, you know, like one that I know as if it was backhand knowledge, like everybody should know it.
Why did Weasel Woo get the nickname Weasel?
So for instance, like we did one time where a team was so blatantly cheating. So we did movie taglines and it was like, love is in the hair, which is, there's something about Mary because, you know, whatever. It was like, It was like,
wait, explain that.
Yeah. I forget. There were like two others. We don't need to explain it. Go watch Something About Mary. But there were like two others where they're very obvious. And then I did the last one as Look Closer. You know what Look Closer is from?
No idea.
Of course you don't. And most people aren't going to know what the
Home Alone 2 or something.
It's from American Beauty. And the team got that. And I was like, you guys really love American Beauty? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, who's in it? They didn't know. And I was like, screw you. You don't know that Kevin Spacey and Annette Bening and like Chris Cooper and Wes Bentley are all in this
Nina
movie.
Nina Suvari or whatever.
But you knew Look Closer. Like, get out of here. So anyway, that's just something that makes me
laugh. I'm a poster designer and it was in my father's business.
Yeah, exactly. I love when people do that shit where it's like this, that, whatever. The amount of times I call people out. But so anyway, I like that you did that. Anyway, Richard Hatch too feels like he is that know the answer question where it's like who
is
the
naked guy
of Survivor. Nobody's gonna say who was the second or third or fourth winner of Survivor. Right. They're gonna ask you who's the first winner of Survivor, and most people are gonna realize that it's Richard Hatch. I did find it entertaining. The producers are absolutely feeding these people information about Hatch, because when the one person said he bit a shark on Survivor, I'm like, that wasn't even season one. They did not know this. They don't remember this. Nobody knows that. Like, maybe he brought
They're
it.
They're cheating on trivia right now.
but it just totally made me laugh.
He's,
like,
he's wearing his shark shirt, so maybe somebody was like, "Why you got a shark on your shirt?" And then I'm sure that's one of the two stories that he tells extremely well.
So they brought it up because they asked him. That's a fair point. Okay, you're right, because he did have the hat shark fin.
The other person that I think is either going to be extremely dead in the next episode or extremely important to the thought process of the show is Victoria. Of like, it seems like everything is happening through her. Either she knows how to get the most screen time or she's driving everyone crazy. I don't know what's going on with her. Of like, do you believe her when she's like, oh, I'm nervous or I'm scared or I need to do this because I need to get my place. Like every time she opens her mouth, I'm kind of like, not that I want to fast forward. It's just like, is this relevant to the game or is everyone playing around you? Which I think there was somebody like that on season one, but they were like very, it was Corinne who was very with Johnny Bananas until she went home basically next episode on her season. So it is kind of like, is this just how House of Villains plays out of like, we need to get these people that are clogging up the game out first, and then we can really see who's left final seven and start taking shots.
Victoria is interesting to me because Hatch felt out of place. Victoria feels too normal for this season. I'm going to be honest. Like Victoria, Corinne felt much more natural in her bitchiness. And I mean that, you know, in the House of Villains way. I feel like Victoria is a little bit more manufactured. And I feel like Victoria actually is like a better person. And maybe I'm totally misreading this, but I don't feel like Victoria is the monster they think she is. And it's almost like we were just talking about with Rome when we were doing our Digging Deeper episode. I was talking about how like, I don't think Rome played it up when it comes to his gameplay on Survivor. Victoria feels like it's all an act here. And I feel like Camilla and Victoria don't really belong. Pex isn't a villain. Like he might be a villain, but like Pex is not this type of villain. And he's not playing it up. He's just not doing anything, really. So, like, Victoria, though, I feel like is standing out as I'm a huge part of the story because I'm giving a different level of content that none of these other players are giving. So, I don't know. I mean, what was the highlight of this episode? It's Bobby Lights. I mean, Bobby Lights is so damn good. I love him. He was so good on House of Villains season one. He's phenomenal coming in here, taking over for Joel. I like that he gets to come back to the house.
Joel had a haircut or something.
I like that he comes. I like that he comes back to the house and he's talking shit with everybody. I like how he's getting like all fake emotional with Victoria. I like that his advice to Hatch is don't tell people that you're like you don't care about them and stuff. Like, no, you got to go the other way. And then it ends up getting Hatch voted out unanimously anyway. I mean, I don't know. Like, I like that Bobby Lights was on here, and it made me kind of wonder like, is the cast working? I felt like after episode one, the cast was clicking, but now with Hatch gone, with Candy taking a little bit of a backseat, with Victoria's story, Larsa didn't do anything since coming into the house. I don't feel like I've gotten anything from Larsa.
Safari thinks Larsa's hot. And
that's really all we got. Nobody can hear me. Nobody can hear me.
Mr. Pectacular can trust her now.
And that's it, though. Like, Larsa's not actually saying anything. Larsa's not doing anything. And so, like, I am sitting here wondering, is this going to work?
You know? I think the we got the answer to of why was she?
I just totally lost you.
The thought process of she's coming back in a second.
Did you cut out or did I? I just totally lost you for a second there.
I'll start again. I think Larissa is the other person who went home. I was joking that Larsa and Larissa have the same name. That's why she came later. But I think it was, we wanted Larsa for the show, but she's filming the finale of Traitors reunion or whatever and showed up a little bit late. And I think those timelines make sense for all the people that wanted the behind the scenes. I don't know if maybe write in these comments if you're like, I don't like the behind the scenes of this. I kind of want to pretend that she was just stuck in the back and was always going to come second place.
What do you mean? What do you mean by that? You don't like behind the scenes of this? Like, what do you mean?
Like if you know when they shot the finale of Traitors and when they shot the first episode of House of Villains, you know that they overlapped. So Larsa could not have made the beginning, but she was probably in talks because they don't have a non-compete or something. I this is all the stuff where you're like, this is interesting to me, but I work in the industry, not I'm trying to watch a very entertaining show where people are yelling at each other. And somebody that yelled at each other a whole bunch again was New York, but it did not feel like New York was just rehatching her old arguments with Hatch.
Good one, dude. That was a good one. Sometimes you're so impressive, it's hard to like be on the same screen as you. Yeah, so when did they shoot? When this did they shoot that like season in, then? Are you sure?
This was all in like, because when was the... Yeah, it was like in the spring.
They shot this in February. The Traitors is already airing, so I actually don't think it... I don't think it mattered. I don't think it lined up.
I mean, they shoot the finale a little later or something.
I don't know. I just don't think it lined up.
Okay, well, I'm wrong then. Okay, what else is on... Candy, I'm over Candy. I've been over Candy for three years at this point. Candy's just... I heard you say you don't have parking ticket. Okay, so the main argument is about parking tickets, and this girl doesn't have her money right. She's going to use this 200 grand differently than we would. She wants to use it to buy a Pilates studio and pay off her parking, speeding, or registration tickets, depending on what time you asked her. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about shaming people for being financially illiterate or financially not healthy. And like, I'm pretty sure any other of these villains that won 200 grand, maybe there's a couple of them that are less well off than some of these housewives, but it's like some of these housewives are going to use it for new carpet in like the back room of their pool house. Mm-hmm. And like, it does make sense that Victoria is maybe being focused on of like, I am not as rich as you guys. I stopped doing OnlyFans.
Yeah.
It's not who I am as a person. And then like literally 30 minutes later in the show, she's like, I will start my OnlyFans up again.
I thought it was interesting.
That is some very good money. And I'm
started talking about the wealth aspect of it, because this is not to not, I mean, $10,000 a month is great. Like $10,000 a month is nothing to complain about. But like when she was like, I'm not like, I can, that is like a great amount of money and blah, blah, blah. And it's like $10,000 a month in LA for like what a lot of these people are making and doing really isn't that great. Like, I feel like a lot of these people who are getting asked to be on House of Villains and things like that are getting, you know, enough shows and enough deals and stuff that they're probably making more than $120,000 a year. I don't know. That's just my take.
Which, I agree with some of that, but some of these stars are not doing that. Of like Mr. Pictacular is going to be focusing to win that 200 grand because that is at least a year and a half of wrestling money.
Yeah, you think so?
And an extra year and a half of wrestling money. Like, I don't know. Did Johnny Fairplay scoff at the money last on season one, or was it like, it would be pretty nice to win this money because then I could advance my like plans for a bunch of my stuff by a couple years.
I mean, look at what his podcast is doing now. He's got Kelly Wentworth doing a show.
And... Oh shit!
Yeah.
Why are you watching ours then? Is he recapping House of Villains too?
He is doing House of Villains.
Wow. Well, we should simulcast watch House of Villains and then watch his podcast afterwards and then connect the dots. I don't know. What did you like about this episode?
I told you I liked Bobby Lights. I liked Bobby Lights. And honestly, I thought the challenge was way better this time. I thought the electric aspect of it, I thought guiding through, this is something that we talked about a lot last season, or we saw a lot last season, where it was somebody helping somebody else. I feel like that's great. I feel like that's how it should be, because it allows people to be villainous. And we hear Larsa saying, I'm not trying to just sabotage. I don't want to just ruin this person's game. I want them to do well. Like,
Hatch loses by 6 seconds.
6 seconds. And like, you think about like with Fair Play last year, when he was driving through on the golf cart, it made it seem like he was purposely trying to sabotage. And he was like, no, I wasn't trying to sabotage. Like, that wasn't the plan. Or then he says, like, I was trying to sabotage, whatever. It's like, you allow for that question of, were they? And then that creates better manufactured drama than what we normally see.
True. I like manufactured drama. I like Joel McHale. We saw Hatch get flipped into a wall. It's interesting. I wish there was maybe one or two more contestants for me, but I do realize that I'm 35 and I'm aging out of the target audience of the E channel.
Mm-hmm.
And in my mind, I'm like, if you're the E channel and you built the Kardashians' careers, you don't have a favor you can pull on for Scott Disick or something, of like, get somebody from the Kardashian extended universe and have them be on the House of Villains for you guys or something. Or like, I don't know where my mind just went on that, but like, I don't know at least four of these people. And I think it is a gap of like, should I have watched Victoria's Bachelor season, or mm-hmm. should I have, like, do I need to go watch Safari, like, best clips on YouTube? Because I already watched a Safari show where he made Final Four and was kind of indifferent about him, and I don't have any.
And what show, like, is that?
Scared Reality Scared, or Scared Reality Scares. It was a long time ago at this point.
Yeah, I've never even heard of that. I mean, was that like a VH1 show?
It was a VH1 show. How'd you know?
I mean, it had to be. That was all the rage back in the day, right?
5,000. 2 seconds. Yeah, I'll do it off the drag queen. I just typed in Alaska 500 and it gave me a flight. So Alaska 5,000 is different.
It is, yes. Hopefully you don't get a flight for that.
Okay, we're going to TV shows. Oh my gosh. Oh, I gotta actually be on TV. Scared Famous. She got sixth place. Safari got...
Stop saying Safari.
It's Safari, dude. He got third/fourth. But it was for charity back then. They're not doing charity anymore.
No, they're playing for $200,000.
Yeah.
Did you think that the conversation around what would you do with the money was like... I know you already mentioned this, but like, do we really care what these people are going to do with $200,000? And do we think that $200,000 is enough that like, it's really going to impact any of their lives that much?
Legitimately, that's some of my least favorite talk about reality shows, because when we're playing Monopoly, we don't ask all four of the people playing Monopoly, like, where are you at emotionally? Mm-hmm. What would this win do for you? Would it, if you lost Monopoly, would it ruin your next week and a half? And we don't do that when it comes to like, hey, it's LeBron. Like, if LeBron lost this, what's his legacy? It's like, we go out there and we shoot our free throws and we miss a couple, so we lose. But we don't ask the other team, like, hey, can you dive a little bit for us, or can you treat us a little differently, because we need our points here. That's against the thought of competition. So if it comes into play of, I'd be a better winner because I'm going to donate everything to the Veterans Fund, is like, I don't even want that showing up in the end of any show.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But it happened in Survivor.
Shots out to Gaylor.
I know. I could feel the shots being fired there. I just thought it was funny that it came up. Because I feel like with this show, like,
we're trying to be villainous.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's almost like I want to get $200,000 so I can burn down an orphanage. Like,
yeah, I'm gonna buy a shark and put a laser on his head.
Like, exactly. Like, it, to me, it was funny that her answer was like, I want to start, what was it, like a Pilates place. Cause like, honestly, that's kind of villainous. The fact that it's like, I don't want to help people. Like, I just want to start a Pilates thing so I can make a bunch of money and probably be like the owner who doesn't really even go that often.
Right.
You know,
cause women in my neighborhood to focus on shaping their legs and not shaping their families.
Exactly. Exactly. There we go. That's what I like. Like, that's what I'm talking about. So, I just thought it was funny that it came up, but
yeah. I'm going to be a place where women go to cheat on their husband.
Wow. Okay. Blake. In terms of how the show is, in terms of how the show goes, like the format of the show and stuff that we've seen now, we're seeing the episodes pretty much end. The first episode will end with they determine who the three that are going to be on the hit list are. Then they start the next episode. They do a challenge and they get somebody out. Do you feel like this show would be better if they had both of those things happen in one episode? Or do you feel like they need to cram in this like house villainry?
I think it's going to be what it is. I think that's my problem is the pacing of like, cause we're down to 9-5 women, 4 men. So if we do this, if we do 2 more episodes, there's going to be 10 episodes of a show. That's kind of how it normally happens. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we go House of Villains. Let me click House of Villains real quick because this is worth it. We got computers in front of us. Why don't we?
10 or 13, right?
Because if we go House of Villains season 1, there was 10 episodes. So there's going to be 10 episodes. So I think what my problem is if we don't have a double boot before the finale, we're going to go 5-6 and we're down to 8, 7-8 and we're down to 7. And then you have 2 episodes to go from 7 to 1, mm-hmm. which is kind of what they did last time.
Yeah.
And that was such a, wait, what the hell is going on? What happened? Where I don't want that to happen. I would like to have more time. Not with, I know I just said, excuse me, that was crazy. I do want to have more time where we're seeing the like gameplay of, this is why somebody won, not just it kind of gets hand waved of like, and now we're doing this. And I know it's something where it's, oh, we got to watch them do Top Golf. We got to watch them go to Jax's bar. Some of that is interesting, but it's some of that's like, let's do this very quicker. Mm-hmm. Or like when Larsa gets like 4th place, there's going to be no explanation. And maybe it's like, we don't care about that one because we want to know more about what happened from 7 to 6. But like, if this is a popcorn show where you're not going to explain really anything that happens, let's lean into that even more of like, this is literally like, let's have a lottery system where you lose.
It's almost like, here's what's interesting about this show. It's almost like it has too many ideas going on. Where it does, like, it's almost more complicated than it needs to be. A lot of the people we're watching on these shows are in shows where people do lose. Like, we have some housewives where you're just going to be on every episode. But a lot of people who are on, like, you are in elimination style reality TV shows. But the thing is, all of those are pretty much, like, other than Pex, aren't most of those shows just like, okay, we got to the end of the episode, now somebody's going to go home. And I do understand like why the show wants to bring in challenges and why it wants to do some of this stuff. But it feels like, and you mentioned the pacing, it feels like everything is being rushed through for that car moment today, where they did the car moment where Candy is arguing with Victoria over, I can't sit in the back, I'm too tall. And then Victoria's like, but I get car sick. And they argue and then they go back because the location wasn't ready for them yet, which I thought was really funny. But it almost feels like there should be a way to simplify this just a little bit that would make it a little bit more palatable and a little bit simpler, where every episode you're still getting a lot of the players. But like, even when they do the challenges, it's like the way the challenges are edited, maybe this is because I am coming from Survivor so much and the challenge and stuff like that, but it's like the way the challenges are edited, it's edited in a way that you're not supposed to be able to follow who's winning and who's not. If you ask me who won that, Hatch won it, obviously. They talk about how fast Hatch moved and how Peck sucked and kept bumping into it and how Safari was so slow. Okay, so Hatch wins. But Hatch doesn't win. And the way it was edited, you couldn't follow that. And then it happens very quickly as it is. And that's not a problem with the challenge. It's just more of me saying, like, do you need to be having two challenges plus a reward, air quotes, plus a guest every cycle? And I know these cycles are spread out over two episodes, but do you need that every cycle? Or could you do less and still have the show work and still find a way to pit these villains against each other pretty hardcore, where instead of, oh, it's a reward that we're all going to, you take the entire budget from the reward and two challenges, you put it towards one challenge out at a location like a bar or something, and that's it. And you just have that one challenge, and you don't have people be able to fight their way off the chopping block or whatever the hell they off the hit, right, whatever it is. Like, I'm just throwing that out there because I do feel that we get the least from, it's not just the chat, but it's just like we get the most from when they're in the house interacting with each other.
And I think that's something where it's like when you have a challenge by the pool, like they did on season one a couple times, that stuff was hilarious, where it was, they did the scavenger hunt that they did on episode one of this season, but last season they did it where they were doing it to their fellow house guests. I guess it wasn't a scavenger hunt in season one. It was write the signature, but it was the same thing of I'm interacting with the other house guests, trying to get them to do stuff. And then other villains, let me call them villains. I think the other thing that's in my mind of, as you're bringing it up, it's kind of like a joke of like, cause you can fight about anything. Mm-hmm. But when we talk about these iconic fights, like, it's New York, someone spit on me and I went over and beat their ass. And then I literally yelled at 50 women over two seasons about how they weren't right for Flavor Flav and got into knockdown, dragout fights. And then it's like, but on the show, oh, I want to sit in the front seat because I'm car sick. I want to sit in the front seat because I'm too big to physically sit in the back is like a... What? It's impossible to be iconic when you're fighting about that. It's literally like both of our bodies won't allow us to sit. What are you not getting? I'm gonna go to the other car. Sorry, you can't be over here. We're already full. Is like, what an amazing fight. And I know that, like, when you're, we talked about this earlier in another episode of this, is like when you're shooting 15 hours a day and you have to make something out of that thing. Like, this is the only fight. It was car ride stuff. It's like, but is that interesting enough to make an episode? Or do you go, I guess there's nothing, like, let's make this episode be that's what I'm trying to say, is when you could fit all this into an hour, let's do that. As this episode has both the elimination and the next one of the next.
Here's what I think the show needs to do, and this is truly how I feel as it moves forward. I think the show needs to start rewarding people for completing villainous tasks while inside the house. And what I mean by that is, last season when we had Bad Girls Club run around smashing the pot and pan to relive her scene from Bad Girls Club, instead of her just doing that because, look at me, I made a good TV moment, have it where it's like, hey, you can't be put on the hit list if you smash a pan for 25 straight minutes at 3:30 in the morning or something. I'm just saying something ridiculous, but like, cause that's, again, it's manufactured drama, but it's going to be more entertaining than arguing over who's going to sit where in the car.
Everyone has their own individual immunity idol that can be used if they relive their most iconic moment or something.
And even if it's not their most iconic moment, but some sort of moment that is causing chaos in the house that's going to piss people off, and it becomes like a boiling point type thing, right, where it's like, will the other people lose it to the point where you get to complete this or something like that? But that is more interesting than, oh, we went and played Top Golf, or oh, we went and did this challenge where three of us did what. Like, these are still challenges, but it's keeping it in the house. And I think it's keeping it more dramatic. So that's just what I think. And like, I don't know how this stuff works. I mean, I've never worked on a show like this or anything like that, but I just think that that would make this a more interesting watch. And I know we got comments last time. We had a comment from somebody who said, these are just two people hating. You don't have to watch the show if you don't like it. Well, you don't have to watch our show if you don't like us. I mean, that's a fact. Like, I hate when people do that, because it's like, you realize the hypocrisy of saying you don't need to watch this if you hate it, as you're watching something that you hate. So like, for me, I'm just like, leave me alone. But I just think that there's ways to make this better. And now, especially, I have to talk about that, because with Hatch leaving, I've lost my interest point in the show because Hatch is out.
Here's one thing, something positive. I loved season one. I also did not watch the finale yet, but Jesus. Like, I was watching that show, and
you couldn't even find time to watch it. Was finale in a year.
It was so fun. It was like, I was watching it at my friend's house, and I didn't have the thing. I could buy it, but it's not available on the things I want. I can go back. And then I saw who won, and I was like, I don't want to watch the finale.
That's how I felt too. I've actually never seen the finale either because of that. I'm not even joking. Not even joking.
You just said it about me. But what's funny about season one is I loved it so much that it like reinvigorated that celeb reality era of VH1 that I was like, oh my God, someone truly gets it. But that's that era about that season, like they still had like solid producing. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to be like the producing's off, but I do want to be like, something about season one has not been recaptured. And I think it's just Omarosa is better than somebody on this cast.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Your first one is Johnny Fairplay. Your second one is Hatch. That's pretty solid.
That's solid.
Like, you didn't have a Big Brother person last year, but Mr. Pectacular is, he's the biggest villain ever. There's some like thought process to that or whatever, or does it make more sense to have Rachel just come and get dunked on a whole nother show of, I mean, like,
that would be your dream, right? Like, you never get tired of watching Rachel. So
she's so fun. And I know her in real life. She's very cool. Shake was somebody that like didn't matter to me, but like, it was funny. Like, but Bobby's better than anybody. Yeah. Corinne is funnier than what's going on. Jax getting dunked on season, like episode one, was about as much as we needed Jax, where like everything that happened on season one was very cool to watch. And like, you even had the viral moments of Tiffany literally just digging in, by Tiffany I mean New York, digging into Omarosa, and then Omarosa goes, but like, it is something where I didn't watch that finale. And whenever I go look at it on Wikipedia, like, at the finale on episode 9, there was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 people left. And then somebody gets banished, like Omarosa gets banished in 9. There's 5 people for in one episode. Like,
yeah,
I don't want to watch that type of finale. And it, I didn't watch it. Let's be real. I haven't watched it.
Yeah. And it's like, I get that this is an elimination type show, but it's almost like, does House of Villains need to be an elimination type show?
And it's like, it's like pre-merge, uh-huh, is your first 8 episodes, and then merge on is 2 episodes. All one. Like, yeah. And
I mean,
like again, that thought process. I like the thought process of never getting eliminated. And mm-hmm. Now when you win things, you get points. And then when you do get to the final, like the last 2 episodes, if you don't have enough points, you're eliminated there. And that's how they've done an episode of season or two of Drag Race.
I mean, they could do it even if it's not, it could be like, oh, through the first 3 days, you have to accumulate this many points. And if you don't, you lose. And then that's what creates the villainous element.
Right.
I mean, I get we're like kind of rewriting the show here, but I think that I just don't know if the format works 100%.
If we didn't watch the finale and we're the ones podcasting about it,
I read about it. I know what happened. I know Fairplay lost.
I don't like Bananas. So that was another layer of, I'm loving everybody but Bananas. And I was like, how does Bananas lose? And then Bananas loses in the most Bananas fashion ever. And even the Schadenfreude of that doesn't outweigh, like, well, I don't care about Tanisha. So
yeah,
seeing her winning moment is literally like would be anti exciting.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I almost want to go like, let's pick it now. Who's going to win House of Fill in season two? It's like, West. Who do I care about the least? They beat West at the end.
If West doesn't win,
West loses at the end to like your least favorite person, probably.
So West loses to Camilla because Camilla's just more liked by the cast.
Sure.
And that's
Bad Girls over challenge again.
Like, again. Same show twice.
And now we're being, that was the most negative we could.
That was being negative. Yeah. That was actually being negative. That was an earned negativity. Yeah.
But it's like, now when you look at this cast, who do you want to win? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 people left. Of these 9 people, I don't really have, like, I do like Wes, but like, he's like just dunking on kindergartners and you're like,
yeah. It'd be too easy if he wins.
Just give him money and film his life for 6 months instead and make a documentary. And I don't know. Okay, that was... You want to be more negative, bro?
Yeah, I know. Way to go, Blake. All right, anyway. Thank you all so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed this episode. We'll be back again. I mean,
I love this episode.
We will. We'll be back. I don't know if we'll be back next Friday because I'm going to be in New Orleans. I'm going to the Bryce and Wen event on Wednesday. So I don't know if I'm going to be back doing House of Villains. I'm staying at Rachel's friend's house. I don't know if I'm gonna be like, woohoo, we gotta
watch Bobby Light's gonna be in New Orleans for that.
I hope so. I know Mike Gabler is.
Jeez.
I'm a Gabler enabler. All right. See you guys later. We'll talk to you. Thanks. Become a patron, like the video, subscribe to the channel. We'll see you next time.
Gabler enabler is one of the funniest things I've ever heard.
So is this episode just not ending. We're just sitting here. Does yours say ended?
Nope.
Nope. I hit end stream like 10 seconds ago. Hopefully it ends eventually. We'll just sit here and keep chatting.
Live.
We're literally going to be stuck live forever, everybody.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.